3 weeks ago yesterday. I had been having good health before that, and then the Lord saw fit to give me a problem called a sciatic nerve trouble. And in these 3 weeks, He's also been talking to me. Some of you were here last Sunday. I had a message that I felt like the Lord had given me, and I even said it. Sometimes the Lord gives a message for the preacher, and he just gets to share it with other people. So my message last week, after 2 weeks of having nerve trouble and I wasn't even able to be in service, so I had to preach over Zoom, was, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Well, you know what? I don't have to say as a minister, I'm there. I can also say, there's a song number 219, I am learning of my Savior. He's wanting to teach us to learn contentment. Because sometimes contentment, we can look at it as, I finally got everything I wanted, and now I'm contented. That contentment will not last. That contentment lasts until the next new item comes out, and I got to have it too. But the contentment that we're talking about is, even though I have troubles in my life, that I can be able to say, you know what, the Lord, there is a song that has been going through my mind for myself. It says, He has placed me just where He would have me. You know what, we like that in real good times. But we also need to be able to say it in difficult times when I'm hobbling around with a cane. Say, you know what, the Lord's got me in this little place for a little while. Let me see what I can learn from Him. So last week was for me to learn about contentment. But He's not through yet. So this week, as He started dealing with me about some things, this is the title that I would give it. One word, waiting. But then I'd put some more dots right after it, because I get to choose how I wait. Sometimes we don't get a choice about waiting. We're going to have to wait. But we do have a choice about how we wait. This one is waiting, and put a few dots there, and then patiently. Can I be able to attain that kind of waiting when I have trouble that comes into my life? Now, there was times that maybe we're fixing to go somewhere. I'm out in the car, and I'm waiting. And Cheryl doesn't come out for a little while. I'm waiting. But you know what? If I blow the horn, I just told her something. I'm not waiting patiently. I've moved over into another category. You know what? That can happen to us in our life. We can wait on something and find out, you know what? I'm not waiting patiently. And the Lord would like to help us, each one of us, to be able to say, yep, help me to wait here. But Lord, help me also to be able to wait patiently. Because I'm looking at this, and I want to share it with you before I really even start with the message. Our lives today in America are geared toward fast forward. It is just get me something quick. In fact, here's some of the things that I thought of, and you could probably think of several that I haven't even can't even mention. I want an oil change, but I don't want to take very long. So I go to Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube, you can sit in your car. You don't even have to get out. They'll change your oil, and you can be out in 15 minutes or less. That's what I want, because my life is fast-paced. I want to keep on moving. Fast food restaurants, they're all over the place, because I don't have time to go inside and sit down and order something and enjoy my meal. I'm going places. I'm doing things, and I need it fast. And then along comes something called Amazon. Amazon is it's like a miracle. You can order something this afternoon, and it's at your door in the morning. I hadn't figured out how that happens, but it does, because I like things fast. So you know what? I'm buying more and more things from Amazon. And then they came up with something else. I don't really like spending extra money, but this one, they said for $15, you can get Amazon Prime. You can get it even faster than the normal way of getting it. You see how we're geared in society to where, get it for me fast. I even realized that Amazon now does grocery deliveries. You can call in an order and tell them you want 5 pounds of bananas and a gallon of milk, and they'll bring it to your door. I look at all these things, how time has changed in the last years, And sometimes I have to say, has it really been to our advantage? You remember when microwave ovens first came out? So many people were saying, no way, I'm going to heat my food on the stove. But now, we're going to nuke it. You can heat that thing up in 30 seconds of what it'd take. You wouldn't even get your water boiling in that amount of time. Because I'm in a hurry. I'm wanting to be able to move on with it. And then move over into the information age. It is amazing how fast things are going as far as information. I can remember when I was a boy, a salesman came to the door, talked to my mom and dad, and said, you need a set of encyclopedias for your children. In fact, if you'll buy this set of encyclopedias, we'll throw in a real fancy vacuum cleaner with it. And my mom and dad bought them, I don't know if you know, on encyclopedias, but it was a Britannica. That set of encyclopedias was for college people. It didn't even do us any good, but that was how you could get information back then. Research, we can get it immediately now. You got a question? If you got a question about most anything, if you got a question about the Bible, finding a verse, you can just ask it. You can Google it. If you want to ask about what happened to King Asa back there, you ask that question and it's available to us. Information source is so fast. Be able to get it quick. And I want to think about another thing here. The changes that have come for us in Bible study is amazing. Grandpa Doolittle lived out there in California. If you remember him, he had him a big old leather satchel that he carried around with him. And it looked like it was loaded with bricks. He even kind of walked with a limp carrying it. And after I see what all was in it, I can understand why. You know what? He had some study material in there. And some of you here, do you remember the old orange Adam Clark's commentary? If you wanted to find out things about the Bible in the commentary, it was about 2 inches thick. And you could go through each of the scriptures and find out. If you wanted to find a verse, there was a concordance. You ever remember trying to use the concordance? Now, your Bible has some things, but not very many. So you buy this big, about 2-inch book, has the concordance in it, and you pick a word that you can remember out of the verse, and you start scrolling down. But you better hope it's not a common word, or you might have 3 pages that you have to look down through there trying to find them. So I look at all those things. Songbook. He probably had him a songbook in there with him too, to be able to study. And a dictionary. He had all those things available, carried them around with him to study. And now, you know what? I have one app on my phone called the eSword. And that eSword has the commentary, it has the dictionary, it has the Bible. It has all those things, and it's at the tap of my fingers. Available for me. You know, we're in a time where we want it quick. And the Lord comes along and says, there's some things that I want you to learn to wait for. Preaching.com. Thousands of messages are available today that I can just click on any one of them and be able to hear. I can say I want to hear a message about divine healing. I want to hear a message about anything, and you just click that in there and you find them. You know, that was not always available. There used to be, from here in Oklahoma City, something called a tape line. There used to be that the messages would be recorded and put on a little cassette player, because there's isolated saints out across the country that are not able to go to services. And so they would maybe get about 6 of them together, wrap them up, and they would have a tape line. They would send them to different people on a list. You listen to them, and when you're finished, you send them on to the next people on the list and move it around that way. Also, you remember circle letters? Did any of you old folks, did you ever have to do a circle letter? It was about in families or friends, to where you would have a list of people that it's going to go to, and you'd write your letter and you'd send it. It goes to this one. They read it. They add a little bit to it and send it on around. That was how it used to be. You know, technology is a blessing to us. It can be a blessing. But it also has caused us to expect to get things instantly. And now I want to share with you the message. Because now I go to the Lord with a need. And I have been so used to going to Amazon and getting it tomorrow and getting just what I want. And you know, with Amazon, I can order something and it's supposed to be here tomorrow by noon. And then they send me a little clip that says, I'm sorry, may take a little bit longer. You get an option. You can either cancel and find something else. You know, we have those kind of options. I don't want to wait any longer. I want it right now. And now we come down to dealing with God. So I want to start out with a verse. It's in Psalms. Because as I tell you, this message is for me today. Waiting. I'm going to have to wait because the Lord says you're going to wait. But am I going to wait patiently? In Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. That's what I need to be able to have. And then it says, it stresses it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. To be able to, now I'm dealing with God. This is not Amazon. This is not Jiffy Lube. To where I'll be able to find who can do it for me the fastest. Now I'm dealing with my soul going out into eternity someday. And having to believe that God knows what is best for me. So he sends some things. And then he says, wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, be of good courage. Don't be stressing about the time that it takes for him to answer. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I bring a problem to the Lord, and he says, wait. This isn't Amazon now. This is me dealing with God. And we heard this verse already this morning, because as I'm dealing with God, I've got to realize something. This is in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What are my kind of thoughts? Lord, I got this problem on Saturday. I'd like for you to heal it for me because I'd like to go to service Sunday morning. You know, even last weekend, whenever I realized I had a problem, I was telling the Lord that. Lord, all you got to do is just give me a little bit of a touch and I can be at service Sunday morning. Well, Sunday morning, it was so bad that I could not put weight on that foot hardly. And then I start learning to wait because his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how much higher his thoughts are, his ways are, than my ways. You know, God does not look at time the same way as I do. He looks at it different. And here's a verse that helps me to see that. 2 Peter 3 and 8. One day is with the Lord. You know, he dwells out in eternity where time is not marked. And that verse says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. You know, 1,000 years to us is a long, long time. He doesn't mark time the same way. And I have to realize that, you know, that in my life, he does not mark time like I do, where I want to get out of a problem quick. What he's really interested in is sending some things my way that cause me to be able to have the best opportunity to make heaven my home. So I look at this. He's wanting me to be able to dwell with him in eternity. I heard on the news just a couple days ago, Elon Musk, Tesla and SpaceX, and just went public. And he became the first man that has $1 trillion to his name. You ever thought how much $1 trillion is? Thousand stacks of million is a billion. Then 1,000 stacks of billion is a trillion. He's a trillionaire. You know, that sounds like, wow, what all you could buy if you had that kind of money. But you know what? When we talk about God and how he wants to work with us, it's hard for us to imagine. When he breathes his last, he will leave out of here with nothing more than Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate. We all will leave here with the same amount of money. And what does the verse tell us? What would it profit if a man would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So you know what I want to do is I want to be coming to the Lord saying, Lord, put into my life the things that would help me to have the best opportunity of making heaven my home. There is a verse. So he sends some things to give me some lessons on how to wait on him. Look at Lamentations, 3rd chapter, and in the 26th verse. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Got a hope, got an expectation, God's going to help me. But then be able to just quietly wait on the Lord. We find a lot of verses that teach us about waiting. Here's Psalms 40 and 1. I've waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. That sounds like salvation right there. I am thankful for the change that he brought about in my life. But then it says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What is that? I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my cry. Children sometimes sing a song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what? That's not just a children's song. That's probably a song that every one of us need to be realizing. You know what? Until the day I die, he's going to still be working on me to make me what I ought to be, to help me in these difficult times to be able to have patience, to know I waited patiently on the Lord, and to be able in the middle of those times to still see that God is well able to take care of my problems. You remember when the children of Israel went into captivity? It says the folks in Babylon asked them to, hey, sing some of those songs you used to sing back there. You know, somehow they must have heard what they sounded like, and the tune sounded good. So they're asking them, would you sing me a song that you used to sing back there? What did it say? They hang their harps in the willow tree. I don't feel like having any music now. I don't have a song to be able to sing, because life is not going the way I had wanted it to be. You know what? I don't want to be that in my life. Amen. I don't want to be that. You know what? I'm on top of it because everything's going well in my life. I'm feeling well. I have no problems. I want to be able to show to the world. And really, Daniel did that. Daniel showed to the world. You know, right? Amen. Right in the middle of this where those other folks don't have a song, he's able to let God talk to him. He's able to talk to the king and let him know, you know what, it's not me, it's God that's being able to do these things, and was able to be a blessing to them. What about when there's pressure comes to us? In 1 Samuel, in the 13th chapter, I look at this story, and we won't read all of it, but sometime I'd like for you to follow this story out right here. You know, there were many times that the Philistines had a battle with the Israelites. But this story is almost different than those others. Saul has got an army, and when they see the enemy coming, there are so many Philistines coming. And here's what you could look at, fifth verse. Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000, this is what it says, 30,000 chariots. 6,000 horsemen. Now, whatever that is, there was a bunch of enemy coming. And what does it say? Was Saul saying, you know, we heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning about David. And now in this one, is Saul saying, we're well able? Saul has got his army. Look at this in the sixth verse. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait. You know, we can go from good times to being in trouble. It says the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in, this is his army here. They hid themselves in caves and in thickets and rocks and high places and pits. Some of them even just crossed over Jordan to get out of there because this is going to be a slaughter and we're going to be the ones slaughtered. And this is where Samuel has come to Saul and he says, you wait for me. I will be here in 7 days. to let you know what to do. But you know, the enemy is getting more and more ready for battle. The battle hasn't started yet. It hasn't started, but Saul's men are running away. And Saul waits. The seventh day is in process right now. But the seventh day has not ended. But the pressure is on. You know, sometimes we can have so much pressure on us that I want this thing to be resolved. The pressure was on. His men were running away. And so he says, I tell you what, Samuel hadn't come back yet. So bring me the offering. I'm going to offer it myself to God, which was never a place for him to do. Some of those times, as I read that story, I start realizing, you know, sometimes with myself, I want to push. This is how I see it needs to be. And I'm under pressure right now, too, to make a change about it. It can be health. It can be it can be financial. It can be a lot of different things. But to be able to learn, you know what, I'm in a place here that I need to wait patiently on the Lord. Samuel came after he had offered that. And that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back for Saul being able to continue to be king. And Samuel rejected him at that point. But you know, I want you to just look at something else. Sometime read that chapter, but also take a look here in 13 and 22. Because sometime we can say, Saul, why didn't you just wait? Why were you scared anyhow? You know, when I read this story, I don't know why Saul even put an army together. Because look at what's happening. In the 20th verse, 19th verse, if you look through these, it says, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. The Philistines had said, lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears. They had to go to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share. They had a file for the working tools. So look at this 22nd verse. It came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither a sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people. Now you see why they're running to hide in rocks and stuff. Found in any of the hand of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but only with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. You know, that's a desperate time. If you just got two swords and you got, you know, it says 30,000 chariots coming against you, you might as well wait on the Lord, because you're going to be in trouble to try to do any fighting yourself anyhow. But what the difference of the story would be if he had only waited, if Saul had waited just a little bit longer. Samuel was not late unless he did not come by midnight of that day. You know, we can have some pressure come on us. I've got to have this resolved in a certain amount of time. There is other stories that when I look at them, I think, okay, why weren't you able to wait on the Lord? Why were you nervous? And then I say, whoa, you know what? If I had been there, I'd probably be the same way. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, is telling us where Moses, they've been delivered now. They left Egypt with a high hand. Life is good for them right now. And then they head to the Red Sea. And now they're up against the Red Sea and they look behind and here's all this dust coming and the Egyptians are following them. And they're in a terrible place. And what does Moses tell them that God has said? Stand still.
Amen.
You know what? That's the last thing I want to be doing when the Egyptians are stirring up so much dust coming. Let me run. Let me swim. Let me do something to get out of this problem. And he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
I see those kind of things. And then I see for us today, we're over in Ephesians 6 and 13. It says, having done all to stand, then just stand, therefore. So when we have done in whatever situation we have, whatever trouble we have coming to us, when we have done everything in our part to stand, then just stand there and wait to see the salvation of the Lord. The trouble that can come to us. And there are a couple songs that I want to look at. Damon, if you could look up the one, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. And if you could put it on for us. But here's another song. Think about this in the troubles that you will go to through. And I call on the Lord. I would like for it to be done today. And he doesn't do it today. This song says, the Father has a plan. Though it's hard to see it now, you feel that you're walking all alone. but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and you don't know which way to go. Have you been there? Have you been there this week? You know, we can come up against that. We can have good times happening, and all of a sudden I come to a place that I don't know which way to go. This song says in the chorus, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. It really is. To be able to, in this time where I have trained myself with so many things, my Jiffy Lube for my car, my Amazon for getting all my things so fast, and now the Lord says, wait on me. Be of good courage. I'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It says, when you feel that you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. I say, Lord, help me. Because you know what? It's in difficult times that we learn to wait. We're going to wait on the Lord. But Lord, help me to add that one other word in it and let it be a part of my life. I waited patiently on the Lord. And he wants to be able to bring us out. In that song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait, you know, there are lessons. We have a song that says, I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour. How the soul that he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. You know, we will be learning from here until the day we die from the Lord, lessons from him. This song says, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Whether it comes today or tomorrow, that I'll be able to wait patiently. It also says, teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. You know, people around us, family members, others, just community can see. You know, it could be world conditions. It can be whatever. Lord, teach me how to be patiently waiting on you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed and my eyes on thee. And help me to be on this earth what you'd have me to be. While people around us, and even in the difficult things that our world is facing, that we be able to show to the world around us, I'm patiently waiting on the Lord. And then it says, the chorus is a verse in the Bible. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then it ends with, teach me, Lord, to wait. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know how that happens? There's some wind. There's some storm or something. Last few days, I've watched some big birds soaring outside. And I thought, okay, it's one thing, we've got a 30-mile-an-hour south wind. They're going to be up in Kansas in just a little while. Those birds can turn right around and head back into the wind and just circle up. I don't know how they do it. But you know what? God can do the same thing for us when there's difficult times that I'm faced with. We don't have to be just carried about, just going a long ways off. It won't be back till the wind turns around. Oh, no. God can help us. What is it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I would see those birds for, it seemed like for minutes, never having to flap their wings. They were letting the wind carry them around and going where they wanted to go. You know what? I believe that can happen for us in our life. And I'm saying, Lord, help me today. As I walk around with a cane, I would pray that it would improve. But Lord, teach me to learn how to wait. It's one thing for me to give you this message and I'll be healthy and everything's going good. So this message really was, you just get to listen to it. But I believe it was intended for me. But I want to tell you also, you know what? If everything is going well in your life today, keep on breathing, because there will be trouble coming to every one of our lives. But help us to realize, you know what? I can patiently wait on the Lord to bring me out of that problem.